Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Just to confuse me, he's changed microphones yet again. Back to the script. In the latest countdown to the Newark Half Marathon feature, we look at how to look after your body before the event and after your event. So, who better than our resident sports therapist, Becky Gallup, who I think is also running the event herself. So we're going to talk to Becky after 7:30, how to look after yourself before you do a half marathon. I won't be doing one because I've got to. I was there to do it. I filled in the application form. It was all there. And then our producer says, you've got to commentate on the day. And once again, I have to miss out on something that I really, really would enjoy.
I bet you'd smash it as well.
Oh, of course I would.
I bet you'd easy do a sub Tuesday.
Yeah, 25 minutes, no problem. We're going to take a last look back at the last week in the wacky world of Newark Sport, and we're going to look forward to what this weekend is hopefully going to bring in our neck of the woods before Tony disappears at 7:30 to continue his quest for world domination of Newark Sport. But something he hasn't quite got hold of yet is this. But it won't be much longer, I wouldn't have thought. Newark Town and Collingham Football Clubs have both received byes in the first round of the Central Midlands Cup. That puts them both into the last 32, where Newark Town are at home to Pinkston and Collingham are at home to Welbeck. That's going to be a busy day for Jerry. And a better night on Tuesday for both Town and Flowserve. Town came back from 2 goals down after only 15 minutes at Harrowby to draw 2 each. Tyler Martin scoring both the goals. While Flowserve went to step 6 side Shirebrook Town. That is a tough game. They lost 3-2, but I reckon that's a result that they would have taken. And they're playing tonight at Lowfield. Still time to get down there because it's a 7:15 kickoff. Nip down there, Lowfields. Flowserve against Ollerton always used to be one of the matches of the season.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And occasionally football broke out.
Yeah, they used to leave the ball off for the first 20 minutes and let them get on with it, didn't they?
Not very often football broke out, but occasionally it did break out. I remember Briggy and Kevin Pressland told Gary Fell, he's the playmaker, take him out, stop him. And Gary did, right in front of the Ollerton dugout. Mayhem. Total and absolute mayhem. When I did look up, KP was running along in front of the Ollerton dugout with a bucket. I'm not even going into what happened next, but that was like it was in them days.
Go on, what happened next?
Sometimes you play football, but not very. And there's been changes in the back room, as being well documented on social media at Flowserve, with Stephen Kirkham returning to the club to help Craig Roach. So I wonder if he'll bring any of the Nottingham players back. Interesting times. Flowserve looks strong to me in any case. Never mind about if he's going to bring any players back. So we will watch that one, I think. Watch the space on that one. A Newark Rugby Club have also received a home cup draw. The cup draws are being made at the minute, aren't they? Newark Rugby Club at home in the Knox Cup to Paviers, which is always a good game.
I've got some bad news regarding cup draws.
Hang on a minute. This is an interesting one. This tie must be played by March the 25th, 2018. Carry on, go on then. You've got some, that's when it's got to be played by. Yeah, that's rugby for you, organised. Everything is set out, bang, done. Right, come on, you've got some bad news regarding cup draws.
Regarding the FA Cup first extra qualifying round draw at Renneth Miners Welfare, it looks like me and Jim Mackay won't be able to attend, and our FA Cup book will have to be put on hold because I've got to umpire the Newark R&M First 11, and Jim is captain of the Newark R&M seconds, and we both feel that we can't let our respective sides down,
right,
given our positions in the table.
Okay. Are you umpiring this weekend?
No, my daughter's getting married.
There you are, then. You're letting your respective side down.
I tried to get out of it, Mick. They're funny, these women, aren't they?
Newark R&M going for the championship, which may not happen ever again in your lifetime, or your daughter getting married.
I told her not to get married either during the football or the cricket season. And, you know, you just can't...
Unbelievable.
You just can't argue with some people.
All morning to get married. And you let her arrange it for the afternoon.
Yeah.
She wouldn't mind if you nipped off, especially when it was your turn for the speech.
Yeah, exactly.
Got your speech done?
Yeah.
Are you going to give it a sort of a bit of a run tonight? Like,
No, I can't possibly.
How many hours is it?
It's 2 minutes.
I can imagine, yeah. You've never spoke just for 2 minutes.
It's 2 minutes and so is the conception.
Do you want me... Oh, dear. When you want to go to an ad break, you can't. Do you want me to get some of your special music for the afternoon, or...?
What?
I can, yeah, you can have a glass of summer wine, or you can have your Elvis music. Like, listen, because on the way home from work tonight, another radio station which talks a lot about sport, but they're not as good as what we are. Interesting debate. Is darts a sport, and should darts be in the Olympics?
Yeah, totally.
Why?
Because it's a great game.
Is it a sport?
Yeah, definitely.
You don't have to be athletic.
Exactly.
You don't have to do anything apart from sort of repetition and drink. It's right up your sport, but...
I've got several trophies to prove it.
I mean, it's interesting, because is it classed as a... Should it? Is it a sport?
It is a sport, and it also attracts fantastic numbers, both television audience and actually at the event.
Well, so does train spotting, that's not a sport.
No, but, I mean, darts is, you know, it's a bit different to train spotting, isn't it? You just got to stand on a platform, whereas darts involve... I mean, look at Phil Power.
You stand on a platform and go like that.
Yeah, but look at the accuracy of Phil Power.
I'm not denying it's accurate. I'm not denying that, but does that make it a sport?
Well, you could really argue against golf if you're going down
that
line.
Well, I was
going
to go down that line, don't worry.
But yeah, the darts is a fantastic game. You go for a game of darts, don't you? And therefore, it's a sport.
So there you go. Is golf, snooker, and darts real sport?
Yeah, very much so. You only have to look at the British Open last weekend to see what a fantastic occasion that was. And for Mr. Spieth to produce a comeback like that when he was dead and gone, was just fantastic. A fantastic spectacle, and therefore very much a sport.
He's American, so it doesn't really count.
Well, yeah, but we've alienated just about every county in the country. We can't start...
You have? I have not alienated Cornwall or Northumberland.
Well, it was me who said that Cornish people were all cousins.
Exactly.
I think that would do it.
So don't blame me for that. You reckon darts is a sport, then?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well...
But I'm surprised we didn't raise one subject.
Should it be in the Olympics?
Yeah, of course it should.
Okay.
But... I'm surprised we didn't raise one subject last night that was in the news, and that's the five-game ban for in amateur football for touching a referee.
I'm waiting on that one, because I've got that one for when Craig comes in to see us in a week on Monday. I've got that one, and the Notts Senior League are one of the leagues that the FA have chosen for the sin bin job. So... you've got to build a third dugout at Lowfields.
That's a great idea.
For the sin bin. Now, there's about 20 leagues all over the country, and Notts Senior League are one of them, which is a feather in the crown, as far as I can see, if Notts Senior, because I've been banging on about this for long enough. So, once again, somebody from the FA obviously listens to Radio Newark Sport.
But doesn't everybody?
And they finally grasp it. Right. So, I'll disagree with you about darts, but we'll move on. Manager Mark Smith says England still want to beat Portugal in the final women's 2017 Euro group game tonight, even though that would mean playing France in the quarterfinals, because France have managed to finish second in their group. The Lionesses need a point in Tilburg to qualify as Group D winners after France finished runners-up in Group C. England have not beaten France since 1974 and have lost to them at the last three major tournaments. Of course, you have this sort of fanciful eye of yours on the Jockesses.
Not a cat in hell's chance.
Well, according to their manager, that they're struggling with a shout.
Well, the manager's got to say that before a game. He can't just say, come on, girls, let's pack up and go on. We might as well. We're not going to beat Spain. So the manager's got to make those correct sound bites, but they're going to get a battering tonight like they did against England.
Well, the whole thing, they're the same as the men, aren't they?
Yeah.
Republic of Ireland boss Martin O'Neill and James McLean have both been reprimanded for comments made after June's World Cup qualifier against Austria in Dublin. The Republic had a late goal disallowed and a penalty claim turned down. As I remember, it was blatant. Absolutely rock solid blatant. O'Neill described the Spanish referee as poor, while his winger called him Austria's 12th man. The Football Association of Ireland has accepted FIFA's reprimands for unsporting behaviour.
I think poor's fair enough.
I mean, unsporting behaviour, calling him poor, they want to get round here on a Sunday morning. If poor is unsporting behaviour, we're in trouble.
My favourite football quote of all time is Ron Atkinson, where he said, was asked about a contentious refereeing performance, and he said, I never criticise referees, and I'm not going to make an exception for that prat.
There you see, absolutely stunningly brilliant. And go back to north of the border, because I know this is where you peak.
Yeah.
Celtic and Rosenberg remain goalless after the first leg of their Champions League third qualifying round. Apparently it was awful.
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers said they fear nobody. Well, I think they probably ought to fear Rosenberg.
They fear nobody in Scottish football, but once they get out of their own backyard, then, you know, oh dear.
But you see, they didn't play this Moussa Dembélé, did they? The one that's supposedly off for £20-30 million somewhere. The one that scored all the goals last season. He wasn't fit. Or supposedly not fit, or whichever way you want to word it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's definitely going. If they left him out of a game like that, because you've got to pick your 11 best players, and Dembele's definitely amongst those.
Well, you don't want him cup-tied for a second qualifying round.
But the Scottish European qualifying campaign is just a total embarrassment, because
it's generally all over by the end of July.
Yeah, but Scottish football teams get to realise just how poor their quality is when they come up against European minnows. It's just, it is.
We have pre-season. They have a European campaign.
It's just look away now, isn't it?
On my sort of list of sort of darts and snooker and golf, I ain't really quite sure about rugby league.
What?
Wigan face Hull FC in Australia in 2018 in the first Super League game to be played outside Europe. All I can see is that rugby league is for rugby union players that didn't make it. The two sides... I only want to do this because I'm going to say where it's being played. The two sides face each other at the WIN Stadium in Wollongong. Wollongong. Silly name. In February 2018, 7 days later, Wigan play South Sydney and Hull take on St George Dragons. Rugby league underneath the other side of the world is strong, though, isn't it?
Very strong, yeah. The Australians are fantastic. But the rugby league is basically very much a northern sport, isn't it? It's Lancashire, Yorkshire.
Yes. And they keep trying to get it to London, don't they?
Yeah, but it's not a sport that really. Tetley's Bitter outside of Kirkstall is rubbish. 10 miles at radius outside of Kirkstall is rubbish. Rugby league doesn't travel well either. They'll never spread the gospel with rugby league. It's for northern men, for northern lads.
If anybody knows what Tetley's Bitter is or where Kirkstall is, please let me know.
Kirkstall is in Leeds.
They've got a Kirkstall Lane end at the cricket ground, haven't they? Yeah, you see.
Correct.
Yeah, dirty Leeds. Wigan have previously played a Super League game on a home ground that wasn't theirs. Where was that? And it, to be honest, it was the perfect place to play rugby league.
Don't know.
It was at Millwall's ground, the Den.
Really?
In 2015 when they played, they beat Catalans in a home game that was played in London. Full of knowledge, you know.
Was that an attempt to spread the gospel as well?
I always think sort of rugby league at Millwall's ground seems somewhat apt, really. Means as the Millwall supporters play of their version of rugby league every home match.
Underway.
Looking back at last week, the headlines, total headlines really, was made by Anna Smith, wasn't they?
Didn't she speak well last night?
She did, didn't she? I mean, that...
How old is she?
15.
She's another one going on 25, isn't she?
Yes. That is a young lady that...
Do you remember when she came in with Ben and their father? The look on her father's face, on their dad's face, when the both of them spoke so eloquently about their sport. I think it was an eye-opener for him. I think he went on buzzing as much as they did.
To the ones here that's been sort of got your head sort of buried somewhere, she's been to the Junior Commonwealth Games in the West Indies. She ran the 1500 metres for England. She's 15, most of them were 17.
And in the heat and humidity?
The heat was 30 degrees and the humidity was 80%. And she was ranked, I think, 10th before she started in the race. And the stats at the end of it are that she finished 4th, taking 5 seconds in that heat, 5 seconds off her personal best time, which makes her the 11th fastest 1500 metres runner at under 17 level in the UK ever. All time ever.
At 15.
And she's only 15. And she is now ranked 8th in the world. I couldn't think of a lot to say last night, and I can't think of anything to say tonight, because...
It's just breathtaking.
That young lady, if she remains injury-free and has a little bit of luck, because she's certainly got the skill.
But I liked the question you put to her when you said, when we're talking about your career in 15 years' time... When you're looking back on your string of Olympics and whatever, you and me in 15 years.
Yeah, well, I did think about that.
That's going to coincide with your telegram from the Queen.
I'm not really sure that me and you'll be doing this programme in 15 years' time.
I think we'll have sussed us out before then, don't you?
A lot of people say we shouldn't be doing the programme in 15 days' time. Well, I think as last weekend was completely dominated by Anna, if the sun shines this weekend, it might be completely dominated by our cricketers, and we'll come to those in a couple of minutes, because on Friday, no less, it's Newstead Abbey for a 5K, and I just think they're all be going out there, because it's for the Notts Amateur Athletic Association Championships.
Is it?
5K at Newstead Abbey. So that'd be nice surrounding. That is Friday night. There is football on Saturday. Flow Serve play a team I don't know. Stapen Hill. They're in the East Midlands Regional League. So another team level above. I don't know anything about them.
And I've never heard of them.
Newark Town travel to Pinkston. And our tennis expert... Claire Haytree will not be playing tennis this weekend. She's going to Wales on one of those zip wires. I know. Mad. She's going to ring us up. We're going to talk to her at about 10 to 8.
Right. Is that why you're throwing me out?
Yes.
In case I mention Andy Murray.
In case I mention Andy Murray. we're going to talk to Claire. But she's going on one of the zip wires. And just to prove that Claire is a Newark lady... Claire, don't forget we're ringing you on Thursday night. What do you feel? I'm bricking it. So there you go.
Bless her
cotton socks. Fixtures. And the forecast is good.
thank God.
Forecast. You got away with it last week. Stop whinging.
I'm on about the wedding.
Oh!
Been checking the Met Office every hour.
Oh, dear. Where is the event, by the way, if anybody wants to come and see you in your finery?
Holy Trinity at 2 o'clock.
You don't sound so enthusiastic about it.
No, I'm looking forward to it. Because my present to the married couple is not to have a drink throughout the entire day, and then I will take them to the airport at East Midlands at 10:30 at night. And then I will stand there, and then the highlight of my day will be when I go, bye!
And then get drunk, get something to drive you back.
And then, no, but then me and Lucy will drive home, and we will open a bottle of something special.
I got out, but I hope it's a wonderful day for them, because it...
They deserve it.
They deserve it. Having you as a dad in the car.
Kid. Surely, God, it's got to be sunny for him.
You've got to have a nice day. Yeah, at least he can do is give them sunshine. And can he give the rest of the cricket sunshine? Because...
Yes.
Attenborough play Collingham and Plumtree play Balderton. In other words, our two sides are away to the bottom two sides in the table. Collingham could get second, the closing in, and Balderton need the points not to get drawn closer to them bottom two. Actually, this season's panning out pretty much as the guys told us it would, didn't it, for both clubs. Fiskerton and Thurgerton play Farndon in Division C, which is a local derby. Who knows where that one's gone in, a local derby. Fiskerton and Thurgerton are fourth, Farndon still in those relegation places, but playing well. So I'm not sure where that one's going to go. East Leek play Newark R&M. See, I've learnt to say R&M. East Leek play Newark R&M. That's the bottom against the top.
The following week is more interesting.
You could say it was a... Can it be more interesting? That's not sort of political correct, is it?
Because Beaver Seconds are hosting Newark R&M, and Beaver Seconds are the only side this season who've actually beaten us.
Yes.
So that will be a tasty game.
You've had one tie, though, haven't you?
No comment.
East Leek could be a banana skin. Bottom against top?
Potentially, but you were saying on Monday that, you know, is it time to put the champagne on ice? Somebody posted on Facebook on the Newark R&M website, 25 points clear of Runnington, yee-hee. And I posted, it's not over until the fat umpire sings. I just think...
No, suddenly they don't want promotion.
I just think there is, honestly, a sheer determination within that dressing room not to let up.
Lenton against Flintham in F. What I think is probably going to be the match of the day, and where I'm... No, I won't end up. No, I won't. No. Yeah, shut up, Michael. Newark R&M seconds are playing Kimberley, which is third against second, with 1 point separating the teams. Yeah. That looks to be the best game of the day. And if he doesn't turn up at the wedding, I'll get down to that one.
Are you coming to the wedding, then?
It's funny enough, the invite got lost in the post.
That's got to be the match of the day.
Not for the first time an invitation got lost in the post. RHP in Division L are playing at Bengal. I take it they're going to go fairly early.
That's quite a trip, isn't it?
This is a hell of a trip, that, isn't it?
But they did a good...
No, leave it.
But they did a good tease.
Beans, as this is about to degenerate completely, let's do the fantasy football transfers.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
Okay, you can tell Becky's arrived, can't you? She's chatting away there. You can tell she's here. So we're going to kick Tony out in a minute. Liverpool have placed a £133 million price tag on attacking midfield of Philip Coutinho to try and scare off Barcelona. Remember that Coutinho is one of our ones to watch that we decided last week to see where they're all going to end up. Nothing happened on that one yet. Apparently Chelsea failed in the rate bid to buy Kyle Walker from Tottenham before he moved to Manchester City. And this is what surprised me. Huddersfield Town head coach David Wagner, don't like him, says the club will listen to offers for 27-year-old Bermuda striker Naki Wells. It was Naki Wells' goals that got them there.
Yeah.
So I really don't understand that, because they haven't bought anybody that's any better from what I can see.
No, that's a strange one.
Nothing against Huddersfield, just don't like the manager.
Yeah, strange bloke.
Yeah, strange. Talking of strange blokes, Cardiff City manager Neil Warnock
says what a link.
Says a couple of clubs have shown interest in winger Chris Noone in the summer, but there has been no contact with any of his players. Paris Saint-Germain are confident are completing, and that is now a £198 million deal to sign Barcelona's
Neymar
inside the next 15 days. Where have you heard all these before? I wonder. It's still all talk, and all our ones that we chose at the end of the week, none of them have actually moved anywhere.
I don't think Coutinho will sign for Barcelona. I think he'll stay at Liverpool because there's too much promise at Anfield for anybody to want to leave.
Forrest has signed someone today, and all I can say is he's come from Olympiacos, he's Greek, and he's got a long name. But they signed him, so I'm sure everybody will get behind and support him. But big signings, nothing. Talk, an awful lot.
Yeah.
And that's what it is at the moment, isn't it? So that's it from the wonderful world of sport this week. I wonder how many transfers will have taken place when we come back next week.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Okay, whatever you do, if you run a sports club, do not under any circumstances have an AGM in the foreseeable future, because Mr. Smith's on the loose and he's looking to get involved.
No, I'm not. I'm signed up. Just two clubs.
And he's going. He's leaving us. He's deserting Radio Newark.
Well, I'm afraid I've got to go to the RHP AGM as chairman, because the vice chairman is determined to continue with this radio show.
You know, it comes to a period in everybody's life when would you rather be in a little tiny studio with Becky Gallup, or would you go to a football AGM? You go to your football AGM. Goodbye.
It's nothing personal, Becky, but see ya.
Goodbye. Very
unwanted. Cheerio, viewers.
Dear. Unbelievable. Bye. So, the beast disappears and the beauty arrives.
Yes.
Becky, good evening.
Good evening.
Get yourself sorted. Come on, either stand up or move that down.
I'm going to have to stand up, I think.
You know, you'll go down. Mm-hmm. You're like a jack in the box.
Yeah.
Sorted?
Yeah.
Happy?
Sorted.
Oh, dear. What's this I hear now that you sort of decided you're a Newark Strider?
Well, no.
I have picture proof that you're a Newark Strider.
I was an honorary Newark Strider for the weekend, and they were all lovely and very welcoming.
They were worried. I was talking to the Not Fast Gang on Monday night, and they were worried because, with the best way in the world, that mud was getting deep. They was worried about you and Ziggy. If they'll sort of lose you in the mud.
I did fall over a couple of times in it.
Oh dear.
I was pretty well camouflaged.
Why did we find one of Newark's elite marathon runners, the elite woman no less, doing a 24-hour must be mad thunder run?
Well, I did it last year, and I think they needed an extra person in their team, and one of my friends runs the Striders, so convinced me to do it last year, and I absolutely loved it. It was one of the best weekends ever. It was so much fun, because obviously I love running, and it's just nice and social. There's no pressure to run fast. It's just an enjoyable new experience, and so they invited me back to join them this year, and my coach told me I couldn't do any more than four of the runs, so I was on a bit of... I knew I wasn't able to do any more than four anyway, but actually, after the weekend and the rain, I was quite glad I was only doing four. But it was just like a completely different experience again because of the weather conditions, and I really enjoyed it again. Really good fun.
And did you do just the four then?
I did just do the four.
It was the four.
Just the four, but it was... Yeah.
And was you a nighttime runner then?
Yeah, I did two in the dark, actually. One was about 10 o'clock and one was about 3 in the morning. Pitch black,
Because I assumed it was all going to be floodlit, but no, of course not.
You can't see anything, and apart from what your little head torch is showing, and it's a lot of it's winding through trees, of roots sticking up, so you have to be on your guard and alert. But I love cross country running, so I was in my element. I loved the mud and the I loved it all. It was great.
Newark Half Marathon is now what, 13, 14, 15, 16 days away?
Yeah.
It's very, very close.
It is.
Team Ernie came in last week.
Yeah.
Site manager, brackets.
Yeah,
site manager. And told us all about his part of it. What I want you to talk about tonight, for the runners that don't run very often, what have they got to do before the event and what have they got to do after the event? Because Becky had a change of job direction a few weeks ago, and she's now Radio Newark sports therapist. And any sort of sports injury that anybody gets, we call upon Becky to try and explain it. How's the job going?
Brilliant. Yep, loving it. I am really
lots of Newark sports people coming your way.
Yeah, just that's why I was a little bit late, but I thought it was in the good of Newark sport because I was looking after a Newark runner, so I thought I'd be allowed to be.
Well, that's okay. That's good. Yeah. No, we accept that.
Everybody's getting ready for Newark Half, so if we've got little niggles and bits, they're just trying to get things sorted before.
So how do you obviously don't look after yourself to do an half marathon by doing a thunder run 3 weeks before the event in all that mud, because that mud must pull at the leg muscles, surely.
Yeah, oh, it does. It tires you more than you think, and I still feel I went out running this morning. I was listening to you on the way down, and the Newstead 5K, I'm actually racing that tomorrow night. And
that you've forgotten all about.
Yeah, it reminded me. But yeah, my legs are tireder than I was expecting them to be because you were having to, pull your legs out of the mud. Particularly in the morning, people that were running in the morning on Sunday, that it started to dry up a bit, so it actually made it harder. I think it would have been easier if it had carried on raining because the mud had got quite cloggy. So it was, you're using different muscles anyway because you're on uneven ground, so you're having to really stabilise your body. So we'll just have to see if they're recovered enough for tomorrow night.
Okay, the build-up for the half marathon then.
Yeah.
The half marathon runners, the not fast and striders runners, the runners that do it for enjoyment, not like sort of yourself, who's as near to a professional as we're getting to it. You follow the strict regime, but these guys will probably do one half marathon a year or sort of two at the most. How do they build up to running a half marathon?
Well, hopefully by now people have we're just over 2 weeks to go, so hopefully the mileage has got up to a decent amount. I'm hoping people have probably got to around 10 miles in their training, so they're a bit more used to the distance and being on their feet for a long time. And now, really, with just over 2 weeks to go, it should be a lot of the work's done for the athletes. Probably maybe got another one or two harder runs possibly to come, and then if this is a focus race for them, then they'll probably start to actually ease off a little bit in the week leading up to it, just step back a little bit, eat well, hydrate well, and just get ready for the day.
So where you come into it, the sports therapist job, do people come and see you when they're not injured?
Yeah, we have plenty of people that come on a regular basis, and I still do, I get treated sort of once, twice a month, depending on how I'm feeling anyway, because it can prevent injuries and keeps on top of little niggles and stops them turning into injuries.
So let's get technical a little bit then. Now, this is your chance to prove to us what you have been reading in these books has actually sunk in. So you're not injured, but you go in, you make a regular appointment with yourself. I mean, I go regular to the chiropractor. I haven't got a bad back, but it makes sure I don't get a bad back, so to speak. So you're going to be the same principle.
Yeah. So what we do at sports clinical is we do full assessments on people. So we'll have a look at their range of motion and their certain muscles. We'll look at their strengths, and if we find imbalances, possibly between one side of your body and another side, we can give advice on what that athlete needs to be doing.
So without giving trade secrets away then, how is it just something you know by looking at somebody? Or do you say, what, will you just go out for a run around that field? Or but just by standing there, do you know they've got an imbalance, a problem?
Yeah, by looking, that's the first thing we do, is we will have a look at the way people stand in their natural stance. And if, you know, they might have a lean over to one side. There'll be lots of things that we're looking at without people even being aware of. Even from the minute they walk in the door, we're watching how they're walking. But then we get people running and watch them running. We look at their footwear to see if there's any wear in certain areas, so we can see whether they're landing in the right place. And then just more, then it's sort of palpation and strength testing.
Right, here's your tester, just to prove that we're live. Right, Dean Anderson's just walked in the studio.
Certainly have.
Right, just walk up and down there.
Right, okay, yep.
Right, and again.
And walk up and down.
Just walk up and down.
Somebody
got
show.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to do a dance? Do
you want to sit yourself down there. Okay, that's crawl. I know it's crawl.
Okay.
Okay, what do you make of Dean?
Well, it was really hard to see in those two little steps, but his left, I could see his left foot was turned outwards a little bit. So this could be a few different muscles that are tight and causing that. I didn't get to, I'll have to watch you
let
again.
Let me stand up again. Let me do something else. Okay. You will tell me what injuries I suffer from or whatever, what ailments I have, because I've got a load.
Have you?
That's age,
yes.
Dean.
I have, yes.
Yeah, and I can see he's quite forward with his pecs are likely to be tight because his shoulders were quite a bit forward, so they probably, people can quite often get back pain because of
right. Well, I've got a lot of back problems. I was at physio yesterday and I'm very tight. I need to do some movement to stretch all my aging muscles out, so I do suffer from lower back problems quite a lot.
You see, we've been very cruel to Becky,
okay,
but inside 90 seconds she's worked out that Dean has back problems, and Dean's just said Dean has back problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What was the foot problem? That one does intrigue me.
Yeah, it looked like his I'd have to
stand up, your man.
Like his left foot was
it was kind of out. Was it?
We just stand completely relaxed.
Okay.
And just looked like it was poking out. Was it? We'd expect people to be parallel with their feet.
Okay, so my feet should be that. Would that help my posture and everything else in the way I'm walking?
It would help everything.
Wow, so this girl's amazing.
She is amazing. Yeah. She is amazing. Yeah. And this is what you see when athletes come in to your clinic.
Yeah.
As quick as that, you can. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we do a lot more sort of testing and palpation than that. But we actually a lot of the injuries athletes suffer are from what they're doing when they're not in the sport. Rather than, it's not often the sport that's causing the problem, it's just bringing it out, where it's what they're doing when they're not in the sport, so their job, their lifestyle, the way they sit in their car, the way they drive.
I think my injury originally was from a car that I had back in the 90s. I had no lumbar support and it was doing a lot of miles at the time, and then I ended up getting a really bad back. I always thought it was muscular problems, but as I've got older, it's become now that my lumbar, is it L1 and S5 or S5 and L1 are fusing together slowly, because I had an MRI scan last year.
Right.
So it's fusing now, so I have to just keep things
keep mobilising
things. She's amazing.
She is. I'm sure she'll give you a card on the way out.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Michael.
All right, Dean.
Thank you, Becky. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Dean. But that's how important this is, because with Dean's left foot, that could, in the fullness of time, create problems.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, everything's linked up. Your whole body's linked up. So sometimes, you know, people's calf pain's actually coming from a problem in their neck, long way away from the site of injury. So that's the sort of stuff we do for people that come in, no injury, they just want to get stronger and they want to get fitter. So we'll try and get their imbalances sorted out so they're stronger.
And I suppose an athlete and a runner, it just makes that problem, it expands it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just brings it out, because you're... in any sport, you're pushing yourself to the, if you want to be good and compete, you're pushing your body to the limit, so you're always testing it, and that's when injuries come out. And I think I can't remember who it was, a runner used to say, you're always on the balance between being injured if you're really, really pushing yourself.
So if people can, a regular trip before an event, it's, don't wait for something to happen.
Yeah.
Try and stop it happening.
Try and stop it happening.
If after they've run the half marathon, and I saw you work at the 10K.
Yeah.
And people was basically just coming for a massage after the run. Is that just to soften the muscles a bit then, or...?
It's just to flush everything out. So straight within... people are coming straight after finishing, but within 24 hours, we just do sort of light flush out massage, which just, because when your bodies are working hard and your muscles, they release lots of toxins and waste, and we just help to flush it all out so that athlete can recover quicker, can get back to training quicker, quicker than they would have done if they just sat doing nothing.
When the big boys at football and rugby play a game, and when the game finishes, they go into the dressing room, have the chat with the manager, and when the crowd goes home, then they come back out there and do a warm down.
Yeah.
Why?
It just stimulates blood to your muscles and helps get rid of that waste. So you need blood more than anything to get to your muscles to help them recover, because when you've stopped running, a build up of waste is just sat there. So if you sit and do nothing, it will just, your muscles will contract and get tight and just stay like that, and you want to get rid of all that waste and keep moving, and so you're better to do walking, a light recovery run, just to help you clear all that away than just sat down doing nothing.
Because the man I've noticed most in Newark is Martin from your club, Newark AC.
Yeah.
And every time I see Martin at an event, he has a run before the run,
yeah,
and he has a run after the run. That's been quite cute then, isn't it, really? He's getting his body in readiness,
yeah,
and then afterwards he's calming it down,
yeah, just helping push it out. Martin's got it good.
So your amateur runner after the half marathon, don't sort of get your medal or go down the pub and have a bag of chips. What should they do?
Yeah, so that's, they'd be the most...
Unless you're Adam Holland, of course, and then, yeah.
And when you've completed a half marathon, you do deserve a treat, and you deserve some good food because you've worked really hard from it. But if you want to, get your body back ready for sport again, you're better to eat good food. So get some, especially protein, replace all the carbs that you've burnt off, and just do some light walking, some light jogging afterwards, just trying to keep mobile as best you can.
So what is good food?
What is
good food for somebody at 2 o'clock on the 13th of August?
On the Sunday after the run, so you'll have depleted a lot of your carbohydrate stores, so topping those up, so pasta, potatoes, milkshake, anything that's got high protein value is good to get high carbohydrate. But you also need protein as well, because protein helps repair all those muscles that you've worked really hard that have probably got tiny little micro tears in them that you'll need to, so they can build up and actually get stronger, and that's when you benefit and get fitter. So that's why I said milk, like a chocolate milkshake or strawberry milkshake is good, because it's got a right balance of protein and carbohydrates in there. So just refueling on good food, really.
How does Adam get away with it then? Is that just one of life's mysteries?
Could Adam be a better runner if he did?
Well, that's the better question, isn't it?
If he did, that
is a good question. I know, I like that. What will you do on Sunday afternoon? Because you're running it, aren't you?
I'm still undecided, actually, whether I'm going to run it or not, because it's not really a time of the month for me in my racing calendar where I should be doing a half, but I might do it. It's just a hard training run, but I might help out instead. So I'm just going to wait and see. I'm not decided, but what I do, yeah. Cool. I have entered. It's just whether I run or not.
I've just had an idea. We're going to talk to Claire Hatry in a couple of moments because Claire is our tennis expert.
Okay.
And well, let her tell everybody what she's up to this weekend. Now, if you thought that Becky and the gang from Not Fast and the gang from Striders was slightly mad to go running all through the day and all through the night, our tennis expert, Claire Hatry, has tried her best to outdo them. She's off to sunny Wales at the weekend, and Claire joins us now, because we do like to keep up to date with what our stars are up to. Claire joins us now. Claire, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to Wales with 8 other ladies from all around the world, and we are going pony trekking, and we are going down the zip wire that goes 95 miles an hour over the Slate Quarry in Wales.
One question, why?
Because now we've all reached that milestone age, we seem to be doing stupid things.
You say ladies from all over the world, is this a group of you sort of getting back together again then, or...?
It's one of my good friends, Caroline. She's got friends who live in Sweden, in Egypt. A lady's coming all the way from America, and her name is Tiffany Trump. She is no relation to Donald Trump.
Oh, she gets some stick.
Yeah, and they're all travelling. I'm going to Manchester to pick up 2 ladies tomorrow from Sweden, and then we're going to Wales for 5 days of adventures.
Tell us a bit about this zip wire then. Tell us where it is and quite what it entails.
It's over one of the slate quarries in Wales. It's called Zip World, and I think it's the biggest one in the UK, actually, or it might be the biggest one in the world. And you get strapped in, you're actually lying down, face, and it goes 95 mile an hour. Takes about 7 minutes, I think.
So you're going from the top of the old quarry, obviously right down to the bottom of it. I've got Becky Gallup in the studio, one of our best runner in Newark. Do you fancy that, Becky? Is that something that you... I thought it's something that you would like.
It sounds amazing. I'd be so scared, though.
Well, I rang Claire at the beginning of the week to set this telephone call up, and Claire proved to me once and for all she comes from Newark. Claire, what's your feelings about the weekend? Answer, I'm bricking it. And are you still bricking it?
I'm getting used to the idea, but I've been having horse riding lessons again. We're actually going pony trekking and cantering on the beach on Saturday first. That's 4 of us. I am quite nervous, but go for it. We're all going, and if there's just one of us says we're not doing it, you look a bit of a, you know. So we're going for it, and it'll be great.
Well, this one thing, Claire, you're achieving more than Djokovic is. He's injured.
I am. He's injured. That's the best news I've heard in ages.
Oh, no favourites in tennis. Claire,
look,
stay safe. Please stay safe, because I haven't got any other tennis correspondents. Please stay safe. Try and get some pictures over to us so I can put them on the Radio New at Facebook.
I will. I'm going to try and get the cam that's fixed to your actual helmet when you're going down, so I can put it online so you can all have a laugh.
Yes, please do that, and we'll get it out there. But the main thing is, Claire, enjoy your wacky weekend. We're used to our sports people having wacky weekends. Yours is just up there at the top of that list somewhere. Enjoy and stay safe.
I'll speak to you when I get back, mate.
All right, Claire. Bye. Yes, I thought that might be something that you would absolutely love doing. It's right up your street, that, isn't it?
It is. But I wouldn't honestly, I'd be so nervous when I was up there. I would be really scared. But then afterwards, I'd go, I love it.
I want to do it again. So you've told us how to stay fit, you've told us how to keep fit afterwards. Tell us a bit about the marathon itself. You're on the organising committee.
Yeah.
I understand that you've reached the 1,000 mark.
I think we're towards 1,200 now. And so, yeah, very excited. So it's but we've got more runners than were there last year.
It is limited, isn't it? It's not just an endless. I think it's
1,500 the max, and it was 1,000 last year. So... Yeah,
it's going to be a bigger event.
A bigger event than
last year. It's well and truly got itself back on the calendar, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. We've got some good named runners that are coming down with some really, really fast times. So it's attracting some high profile runners, which is good. And
well, the course will suit the fast people, won't it?
Yeah, it will. And it's quite for people that are doing marathons in September. It comes at a really good time in the racing calendar, so it's ideal.
So you told us you may not do it.
Yeah, I'm doing a marathon at the end of October.
So is this...
So...
Because now, of course, sports therapists and all that, it's even more important that you know even more now to how to look after yourself and your body than you did probably a year ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you changed?
Yeah, well, I was actually a client at Sports Clinic where I'm now working, so I'd been going there regular for about 3 years anyway, so I'd sort of learnt a lot. But yeah, I definitely look after myself more than I ever have, and now I'm doing this job. I need to look after my hands and my arms as well. But yeah, everyone says it takes you to be injured to then realise how much you need to look after your body, so I do stretch on a regular basis, and I strengthen the muscles I know are weak in me, and hopefully I'm always working on my form.
And you've got a marathon in October?
End of October, I'm doing my next marathon.
Which is, what's that?
That's Frankfurt, so...
nice and local.
Yeah.
Well, how did that one come about then?
I just got coach recommended it to me, said it would be a good one for me to try, and he thinks there'll be sort of some groups of girl runners that I'll be able to sort of get in with. I run most races on my... I sort of ignore everyone around me and just run at my pace, so I think it'll be...
The loneliness of a long distance runner.
Yeah, so I'm going to try running in a group and see how that goes.
Excellent. Yeah. And is that? And then it's cross country season, is it?
Yeah, cross country season. She's my favourite. So
it's funny actually, because most of them say, "Oh no, I don't want to do that. Don't like that. I only do it to keep fit." But you actually enjoy it, don't you?
I do. I love it. It's because it's a pure race. There's no time element to it. Most races I do, I'm going for a time, and cross country, you're just purely racing, and you've got your competitors. You know who you want to beat, and it's just a proper race.
Okay, you do spend so much of your time talking to us, and we'd love you for that. So, here it is. Let's have a plug for
thank
the company.
You.
Go on, go for it.
So, the company I'm working for now is called Sports Clinical, and we're based in Basingham. You can find us on Facebook or visit our website, which is www.sportsclinical.co.uk. There's lots of good information on there, and just contact us if you
and it's,
want
it, an appointment. It isn't as if you're going to be talking to somebody you don't know, because you're going to be talking to our Becky. You know, every runner in Newark knows our Becky. Becky, thank you very much for coming in. I know you're such a busy girl.
Oh, thank you
so
much.
Thank
you for inviting me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.